There you have it. We're on for hour number two of our national coverage alt election. My name is Bill Collins. I'm here with Peter Wainwright. We are at the beautiful Mary Winspear Center at on Sydney by the Sea on Southern Vancouver Island. But we're coming to you with a host of radio stations across Canada, folks like CHMR, Memorial University, CKVB in Cornerbrook, Newfoundland, CJPN in Fredericton, New Brunswick. And before the end of the night, we'll get to all of them. We just a very big thank you and a particular thank you to Anthony Sana and Ken Kresky, Zakreski for organizing our social media commentary. I've got Barry Rourke, Executive Director of the NCRA, on with us. And Barry, you were going to mention a couple of other ridings.
Yeah, a couple of close ridings happening right now in Cumberland, Colchester in Nova Scotia. Alana Hurdle is up by just a few votes right now, 21,000 to 20,500, 219 of 222 polls reporting. So that one is very close as they're getting to the end of the night there in Nova Scotia. You take a look at the Annapolis Valley and Acadie, Conservative incumbent Chris D'Entremont is currently with one poll reporting left to go, up just over 500 votes. So that looks like that is leading Conservative over Ronnie LeBlanc on the Liberal side of things. As we move ourselves a little bit further east into Ontario, Bay of Quinte, Chris Millett is sitting at 48.7% of votes versus Ryan Williams, the incumbent from the Conservatives, at 45.9%. We're talking about just 1,000 votes separating those two. Still quite a few polls remaining, 180 of 223. So Prince Edward County is still up in the air. And again, taking a look right now, former member that I've had some communications with for the radio side of things, Tim Lewis, the incumbent for the Liberals, is sitting behind Doug Trevlin of the with about 183 of 205 polls in about 600 votes behind there. So that's Kitchener-Conestoga, with much of southwestern and central Ontario leaning blue. Only Bartosz Chagger and the new incumbent coming out of Guelph, Dominique O'Rourke, who are holding seats there. So some changes in slightly outside of the main rural riding or the main urban ridings in Ontario.
Barry, it'd be good for you to give us an opportunity at some point to ask you about Newfoundland in particular, maybe how the landscape has firmed up there since we last talked, considering you've had some direct experience with some of the ridings in that neck of the woods. But before that, I'd like to bring up Peter with some other interesting results from this side of the world.
Okay, so we've got some ridings that are decided now. An upset, Victoria, which for the last 20 years has been NDP. Laurel Collins was defeated by the Liberal Will Greaves, and substantially by a margin of about 3,500 votes at this point. We mentioned a little bit earlier that Elizabeth May had won hers. There are some other ridings decided in Lower Mainland and Vancouver Island. Nanaimo Ladysmith is being called. It's gone Conservative to Tamara Cronus. That is also a change. Over on the Lower Mainland, Vancouver East has been called, and NDP Jenny Kwan has retained that seat for the NDP. Burnaby North Seymour, Liberal Terry Beach has been elected. Then Vancouver Granville, Liberal Talib Nur Muhammad has been elected. And Vancouver Quadra, Liberal Wade Grant has been elected.
Yeah, interesting, Peter. Terry Beach was head of the Liberal caucus here in British Columbia for the longest while. What about the young fellow from Sea to Sky. He was a liberal. And he led the charge to have Trudeau step down, if I'm not mistaken, from the BC perspective. He signed that big letter.
So on West Vancouver, Sunshine Coast, Sea to Sky, Liberal is currently leading. They haven't called it yet. It's only 75 of the polls. But the Liberals got about 1,100 vote lead. So that's, you know, that's looking good for the Liberals.
Yeah, great. So right now we want to go to a clip. Bailey, if you would be so kind as to tee that up for us.
Sure. So this is a clip from CJLY in Nelson, BC. And it's going to talk about why Columbia and the Kootenai Southern Rockies federal candidates think their leaders should be prime minister.
Candidates in the... This is Stephanie Hendricks with CJLY, Kootenai Co-op Radio in Nelson, British Columbia. We asked our candidates in the Columbia Kootenai Southern Rockies riding why their party leader should be Prime Minister of Canada. We started out with Reggie Goldsberry, the Liberal candidate.
This is an important election where vote splitting is very real. With the polling of the Liberal Party at 28%, we're reaching out to NDP party friends and Green Party friends and soft conservatives and letting them know Mark Carney is the only person with the team, the ability, the experience in crisis management through the 08 recession and Brexit. Now coming here to deal with Donald Trump. So I'm running for Canadians. I'm running for my children. I'm running to make it where we can keep Columbia Kootenai as vibrant as possible with all of its rural challenges. And I have the experience to lead that and make it where we can have the best within our riding as possible.
Here is Kaylee Linz with NDP.
You know, Jagmeet is a fighter. He really goes to bat time and time again for everyday Canadians, to working Canadians. I know that he says what has to be said on behalf of a lot of people in Canada who don't have powerful lobbyists behind them, who need someone standing up for them in the House.
This is Rob Morrison with the Conservative Party.
I think if anybody went to Castlegar when he was there, you know, could easily answer this question. And he's a person that not only can he understand urban needs, but he also knows that we rural people, that we have different needs and you know, different challenges than they do in the cities. And he's a guy that can kind of look at both sides and say, yeah, I understand that. Where right now it's really divisive between the cities and us rural people. And he's a guy that can figure out what we need rurally. Plus, you know, we need somebody who's going to promote Canada with the business that we have, whether it's our mining or softwood lumber or our energy sector. We need to promote ourselves so we don't get stuck into this situation that we have right now with the United States, where we really thinking, oh my God, what's happening? But we have such a strong country. We need to be proud. We need to have our flag flying high, and we need to get our businesses working, which we will.
This is Jim Weidrich, an independent. Is there a party leader that represents your interests that you would support?
No. And so the way I would approach it is an MP is always one voice, one vote, one advocate. And that doesn't matter whether they've decided to put on party colors or whether they're truly an independent. So I can imagine scenarios where I might agree on certain issues or be able to reflect the views of the riding on certain issues with a particular party. In fact, it's really interesting as I go around on the campaign forum and debate circuit that everybody seems to think I'm more aligned with a particular party, and they all wonder if I'm actually secretly in favoring them. But what I really am is a guy with a diverse amount of points of view and reflecting the real concerns of the riding in a way that could be customized, and the allegiance and the votes might line up in different ways at different times. But that's okay.
This is Stephen Maffioli with the Green Party.
Elizabeth May is a fantastic parliamentarian. She has proven time and time again that she has what it takes to get legislation passed unanimously with cross-party support. And as a party of two MPs, that is no small thing to get the Conservatives, New Democrats, and Liberals to unanimously support your legislation. Jonathan Panot is a fantastic candidate and a really wonderful guy, and I'm very disappointed of what happened about the TV debates. It was a little bit of a disservice, but I understand why that is. Going forward, I hope that in the next election cycle, he will be there present on the stage so he can represent us and that Canadians can get an understanding of who he is and what his values are.
Those were the federal candidates from the Columbia, Kootenai, Southern Rockies riding here in British Columbia. From CGLY, Kootenai Co-op Radio in Nelson, BC, this is Stephanie Hendricks.
Thank you, Stephanie, and Kootenays and Nelson, BC. Peter, you've been watching some of the ridings.
Yeah. So one of the things that we've been tracking is the question of whether the NDP are going to retain their official party status. And I have to say, it does not look good. They've won four ridings. They're leading in four other ridings. That's only a total of eight. They need 12 to retain status, and it does not look like they're going to get it. Then kind of looking at the overall thing, and we're now at 76% of all polls reporting. The Liberals are leading in 160, and they've been elected in 135 of those. Conservatives leading in 151, elected in 130 of those. That's getting us in the territory for Liberal minority. And in fact, that's what some of the media are starting to call. And interestingly, when you look at this, with the NDP winding up so low on the list, the Bloc have come in. They're elected in 22. They're leading in one other. That's 23. So if there's going to be a minority government, the balance of power, the confidence and supply kind of thing, looks like it's going to the Bloc. And that is a major change in the political landscape.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see if this Liberal government decides that a supply and services agreement would be the way to go, because I can assure you nobody wants to go back to election mode, and I'm not sure the parties would be willing to do that either. Peter, can you comment on Pierre Poilievre and his seat?
Yeah, just looking at that one. So they're still early. It's 65 of 266 polls reporting. So, you know, it's still possible that things could change. But there's a very clear trend for the Liberals. He's at 51.4% of the vote compared with 45.1% for Poilievre. He's about 1,200 votes ahead. That's pretty substantial this far into it. We may have some major changes in party leadership coming out of this as well.
Yeah, I'd like now Barry Rourke again come in with a few comments.
Yeah, so mentioned earlier watching some of these key ridings as well. Terra Nova, the peninsula, is sitting right now with 269 of 270 seats. Anthony Germain from the Liberals is sitting at 19,418 votes. Jonathan Rowe of the Conservatives, 19,372 votes. So we are down to one poll remaining there. Liam Ryan from the NDP with 1,600 votes there. So a bit of a split on that side. Nobody else running in that that contest. Heading west, wanted to highlight Winnipeg Centre. Leah Gazin looks like holding on to their seat there, although kind of a split. Raoul Walia, a couple of points behind there, although there are only seven polls remaining. That 1,400 lead looks like that might be enough for Leah to remain as the incumbent going forward. Into Alberta, Calgary Confederation, Jeremy Nixon from the Conservatives getting a bit of a push from Corey Hogan from the Liberals. We're sitting at 47.3 to 46.6. So that's under 200 votes right now, with 158 of 233 polls. Calgary Centre, also 100 of 192 polls. Incumbent Greg McLean is sitting with about a 1,000-point lead over at Lindsay Lanoue. So that is close, but looking like most of Alberta remaining blue on this side of things. And as Peter, you were saying, with 172 needed for a majority, Liberals sitting at 160, Conservatives projected at 151, with a couple of those back and forth. It really puts us in an interesting space with, as you said, potentially two leaders of national parties being not elected, one half leader of a party being elected. The new the prime minister finding a seat in that new riding, and a lot to talk about as we go forward. Maybe all of this turns out to be back to where we were before. The NDP would hope, if they could pick up a seat or a couple more seats, that maybe that is an opportunity for them to play that middle role. But as you were saying, Peter, it looks like the Bloc Québécois may have a little bit more of an influence on the country this time.
Barry, while I got you on the line here, you talked about Anthony Germain in the Terra Nova riding. Folks may have remembered Anthony Germain as a national host of radio, but I think for the last decade, he had moved to Newfoundland and was the host of the local radio shows, morning radio, for example, and I think some weekend radio. So very, very interesting on that. Before we go any further, we can bring in Bailey with a PSA, and then we'll go for a station break as we bring in or we cede our information to the other hosts.
So we'll have more updates from our social media manager, Ken.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Social Bites coverage of Alt Election 2025. My name is Ken Zakreski. I'm the social media coordinator for the NCRA and REC tonight, and I'll be tracking and reporting on some social media activity for the election. Throughout the evening, I'll be monitoring major platforms like LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitch, Instagram, and YouTube. I'll also be watching emerging networks like Blue Sky, a new platform that runs on open protocols, offering users to move their content across different services, much like email. It's an exciting innovation in digital communication. One key topic I'll be paying attention to tonight is vote splitting and strategic voting, two issues that often come into focus during close races. For those new to the idea, Canada's electoral system, called first past the post, means that the candidate with the most votes wins, even if they didn't get a majority. The system can encourage strategic voting, where voters choose not necessarily their first choice candidate, but the one most likely to defeat a candidate they strongly oppose. I'm already familiar with one riding where these discussions are active. On Gabriel Island, BC, where I help moderate a local Facebook group, strategic voting is a topic in the Nanaimo Ladysmith riding. That seat is currently held by NDP incumbent Lisa Marie Barron, but Green Party incumbent Paul Manley, who previously served the riding, is also running again.
Hey, Ken, over to you.
Well, thanks. Just a short update on what I've been finding out about social media discussions on strategic voting and vote splitting. The sort of the trend that I've been seeing is on the West Coast, there seems to be more discussions on Facebook in public groups and in chats among friends. In Ontario, it definitely seems to be dominated more on Reddit, where the discussions I've been finding are in Our Canadian Politics, Our On Guard for Thee, and Our Ottawa,
where people are quite openly discussing the various ridings and what can and cannot be done as far as strategic voting. A lot of this starts from a couple of websites on strategic voting, where they break down who's the most likely party to vote for should you want to have a progressive candidate win. Smartvoting.ca, which is a product of Polaris Media and Entertainment, and the other one, votewell.ca, which is Kieran Huggins, an individual who's putting together the website. And there is basically information there. You put in your riding, and it tells you what candidate to vote for if you're looking for a progressive win.
Interesting. I think we've had some discussions here of the digital media and its impact on this election. I guess foreign interference remains to be seen, and probably will be the result from following on from the Hogue Commission's report. Ken, in general, do you think people are engaged equally as maybe in the past, or do you think they're more engaged? And firstly, and secondly, do you think there's a different demographic of those that are engaged? What are you getting the sense from social media?
I'm not getting a sense. I've done a cursory examination of the social media platforms that I'm familiar with. So that's like Reddit, Facebook, LinkedIn. To actually get down into granular detail would require a little bit more work than I've been putting into it. But I'd have to say that definitely people are more engaged in this election and discussion about strategic voting than I've ever seen in the past. I remember back when the Conservative Party of Canada and the Reform Party were splitting their vote all over the place and losing everywhere because of it. There was some discussion around that, but this is now an area of social media, and there's definitely more engagement and discussion. I would say volumes, orders of magnitude more discussion about vote splitting right now. People seem to be very aware of it. We're talking about it. It seems to be quite a phenomenon.
Doesn't it? Well, that's interesting. Thank you very much for that, Ken. So what we'd like to do now is we have some time to play. Actually, before that, I want to bring Peter in for some comments, and then we'll go to a clip.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. Looking at things, basically, there are more polls reporting. We're now up to 80% overall, but the pattern is not changing. We're still looking at exactly the same thing in terms of number that liberals are leading in, number of conservatives are leading in, and so on. But there are some other interesting things that I pick up on. One of the ones that was kind of looked at as a potential bellwether riding is Trois-Rivières in Quebec, because it's right on the border with the U.S. and it is significantly affected and was affected early by the tariffs. It's gone liberal and it had historically been Bloc. Bloc was the incumbent. So the Liberals took it with 40%, and the Conservatives and the Bloc basically tied at almost 28%. So that's showing how the Trump tariffs have actually influenced the election outcome.
Thank you for that, Peter. Bailey, we understand you have a clip for us.
So we do have another clip from Liverpool, Nova Scotia, and this is some local street interviews.
I'm Rick Conrad from Queens County Community Radio. I'm Rick Conrad.
I'm Rick Conrad from Queens County Community Radio 99.3 FM in Liverpool, Nova Scotia, with a look at the race in the riding of South Shore St. Margaret's. It appears to be a two-person race in South Shore St. Margaret's in Monday's federal election. Conservative Rick Perkins is trying to hold on to the seat he won in 2021 from then-Fisheries Minister Bernadette Jordan. Perkins won the seat by about a 4% margin, or just under 2,000 votes. First-time candidate Jessica Fancy Landry is trying to win it back for the Liberals. There's no declared NDP candidate this time around. In the 2021 election, the NDP took 19% of ballots, so it will be interesting to see where that traditional NDP support might go. Mark Embritt of the Green Party and Patrick Boyd of the People's Party of Canada are the other candidates. More than 19,000 people already voted in South Shore St. Margaret's in advance polls over the Easter weekend. That's just under a quarter of all eligible voters. We spoke to some people outside the advance poll in Liverpool and at a candidate's meet and greet about the issues that might decide their vote. Here's what they had to say.
For me, it was not letting a Donald Trump-type government take over. Affordable housing, the environment, cost of food, but just good leadership and good social programs for people.
So I guess main concern for me, housing costs, as someone who just graduated and is looking for, hoping to get a home someday. So that's a major concern of mine. So that definitely influenced my vote a little bit. Also, state of the economy, like both the main two, the Liberal Party and the Conservative Party, they both had good arguments. Like I know Carney has had more experience with that type of stuff, but I also know that Pierre, what he's offering for us, hopefully makes the housing prices go down, but I guess we'll see.
My biggest thing is we have to get somebody different in there, and we have to do the best we can, I guess. Well, Trudeau didn't do a great job. He cut many things. Health care is huge for me. Long-term care is very important.
The education and health care are the two main things for me. Well, because they're picking at them. They're going at them, and they're destroying the health care system the way it was working fine. To me, it was working fine. But the education, too, they're talking about, closing schools and stuff in the States. You wonder if that's going to happen here?
Simply put, I mean, Carney is the best choice, really. He's got the history and the knowledge that we need, and that's why I went with Carney.
I'm basically just opposed to cozying up to Trump is really, really bad, in my opinion. Really bad.
The sort of overall tenor of politics, and I'm looking for people who are going to be willing to work together. We've seen that minority governments get a lot done for our country, but the way people are interacting has been extremely negative, and I'm really hopeful that we can kind of bring that a little bit back to some civility. In terms of what we need to do, I think we need to make some investments. The idea of making Canada one economy is a great idea. It's been long waited for, and the fact that Nova Scotia signed a deal with one province and two provinces, and New Brunswick has signed with Ontario is really hopeful, because it's crazy that we have all these restrictions between our provinces. So I don't care who fixes it, but it needs to be fixed. So I'm looking for that.
I'm concerned about the lack of regulations and support.
I'm Rick Conrad from Queens County Community Radio 99.3 FM in Liverpool, Nova.